Well, count me out. My bracket's busted. You're listening to The High Spot. Jeff Martin, Brian Berga. You can hit us up on at High Spot Podcast. Man, Brian, I don't even get a chance to get my chips and sit my butt on the couch, and I'm already out of my Final Four bracket. First two sides of the bracket are done. I'm done. If you bet the house, if you let it all ride on me, well, my friends, I disappointed you. Brian, how does your bracket look?
Such a depressing intro from you. That was supposed to be an exciting time. My bracket's shot, but I'm more upbeat about it than you are, Jeff. Why so down? It's just basketball.
Well, no, I'm just down because a lot of people put their trust in me. A lot of people were like, Jeff, you are not the Messiah, but I'm going to say, like, Jeff, we value your expertise. And to be quite honest, I never really bow out of this to the very end, and it looks like I'm going to have to buy you dinner. And that really sucks. Honestly, the funny thing is, my girlfriend has more teams right than I do. And again, I don't get any respect in that category either, because I'm supposed to be the guru. I told everybody on last week's episode that we had the equations, we had everything, your answers, and we basically let them down. I let them down. And for that, I apologize. Next year will be my year. And you're laughing at me. Why? Because I've been humbled?
Oh, no. I thought you were going to continue on. I'm sorry. I've been humbled. Well, I've been embarrassed.
I've been embarrassed.
I've been humiliated. I've been castrated. I don't know, Jeff. You tell me.
Castrated?
Well, that's the way you're making it sound out to be something completely over the top. We start off the show and...
Well, check this out, right?
Wait, 1 second. It's funny how, like, we usually start off, we're excited, we're amped up for the show, and now you're just so somber.
Did I start out on a downer? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize, people. Let's rewind. Hey, everybody, welcome to The High Spot.
There you go.
Jeff Martin, Brian Berga, my tag team partner.
That's my thing. Don't steal my moniker.
Oh, now I'm stealing your moniker. I can't win with you today. And
you know what I feel like
I'm
in?
You know
what I feel like I'm in right now?
Twilight Zone.
The Danger Zone.
Oh.
Love that show.
So, Brian, how's your bracket look?
Well, like I said before, my bracket's shot. It was Iowa State that really killed it for me. Oh. I had them in the finals.
I would say about 2 million more, 3 million more people too.
Yeah, I had them in the finals. The only thing I had available for me was Kentucky. I'm having them win the entire thing, as I'm sure everybody is. So if Kentucky wins, as I'm sure 99% of the country has voted Kentucky to win the NCAA tournament, then everybody's on the good note here. I mean, you have Kentucky winning.
I had Kentucky, Arizona, and then I tried to be different. So I went Northern Iowa, and then I went Iowa State, and that's what killed me. Before I could sit down and enjoy the tournament, Iowa State was already in trouble. Get out rebounded by UAB. Can't make a big shot. And quite honest, just the whole state of college basketball, to me, I just, to turn on the TV and then see like maybe 10 minutes into a game and the score sometimes is lower than a first 2 minutes of an NBA game, it's just tough to watch. There was nothing like Thursday, though. Thursday was really exciting. Friday, everything came to norm. But just around here in the area, everyone gets excited for their Final Four and their brackets. So I was excited for about maybe 15 minutes on Thursday.
Well, it's always the excitement. First round, so much stuff's going on. You go to the TV, they're going through broadcast back and forth. Let's go to this game. Let's go to that game. You know, let's go to the second half here. You know, they're down by two here. Final seconds. It's a lot of drama. as the tournament starts progressing, it becomes less and less the excitement which everybody makes it out to be in the beginning, because everybody's hoping they're going to be a winner. Every Cinderella team is going to happen. We didn't expect a lot of Cinderella teams when we spoke during the last episode, because we thought it was so clear-cut. Teams were kind of separated. Teams had depth, maybe experience, who knows. Just goes to show you, Jeff, as much as you and I, you know, do the pie graphs, the charts, the bar graphs.
The abacus.
Exactly. The sundial. It doesn't matter, because you can't calculate sports. And you can't calculate the outcomes of these games. You never know what's going to happen. And that's kind of the heartbreaking side of it, but also the exciting part of it. So as much as we're down, especially you're down in the dumps, that your girlfriend has more sports knowledge in her little finger than you do, there's always next year.
Yes,
and
there is.
And you're taking this really tough.
Yes, there is. As I put
I'm trying to be very nice about it.
My head down and I rub my temple. Well, other than that, how you been, Bri?
I have been exhausted. I am spent. I'm at the verge of burnout. I cannot wait to go to California. I can't. And it's not about the weather. It's not about any of that, because it seems like every episode we're talking about, oh, it's the weather. It's cold. It's miserable. It springs in the air. March Madness, blah, blah, blah. But it's just, it gets to you, man. It really does. And sometimes you just need a change of scenery. I think for you and I, when we take the high spot on the road, it's going to be best for both of us. We're going to be a little bit refreshed. We're going to enjoy it. We're going to have some family along, too, so it'll be nice to have them around. We rarely see our families, folks. And I think it's just going to be good in the sense that we're going to have a different perspective. And, hey, who's going to beat the 85-degree weather? I know I'm not going to talk about weather, but 85 degrees. Nice. In California, San Jose, Santa Clara, WrestleMania 31. That's what I'm looking forward to right now. NCAA tournament, could care less. It's over. I'm done. Kentucky wins, great. I'm getting dinner regardless.
I'm on fumes. I really am looking forward to the trip. Can't wait. Can't wait to go flying.
But there's nothing that can hype you up.
I'm excited.
Is it California that's hyping you up?
I think, yeah. I've never been there before, so it's going to be great. And the itinerary. And again, it's, I don't know. We think it's going to be a vacation, but it kind of seems with everything we got going on, it's going to be like a little bit more work involved.
Well, that's where it becomes a labor of love.
Especially bringing the high spot on the road for the first time ever. How quickly did you think we were going to get this to this point where we're going to take everything, pack it up, and take the show on the road?
I always knew it. I have high hopes for the high spot, Jeff. And there's no telling where we can go from here. We've had tremendous people on the show. Obviously, people are enjoying the banter back and forth between you and I. I mean, who wouldn't?
I think it's good. I think we keep getting better and better each week.
Bringing new segments, thinking of new ideas. And folks, again, hit us up on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. If you guys have any, you know, recommendations, requests, ideas, I mean, we're all open for it. We're posting as much as we can. It's a two-man operation, Jeff and I. We work our tails off to put everything out there for you. We also do other things, too. We kind of link in within the show. Again, you know, it's up into debate. The reason why we did this, too, is we wanted to go on air. We wanted to kind of voice our opinion. And this is our opportunity, and we want the fans to be a part of it. It's not just you and I, Jeff. It's the fans. They're the reasons why we're doing it, and that's the reason why we're going to California and taking the show on the road.
WrestleMania 31 is upon us, and we will get into that shortly, too, as we do our rundown of WrestleMania, what we will be doing, where we will be.
And I was about to say, if it's a rundown for the match, the card itself, it's going to be a short rundown.
We got 9 matches, though, on the card. So it's going to be one short match, then one long match, and maybe one will get bumped, as usual.
Yeah, I think it's easy to look at the card, and we'll dive more into it in a few. It's pretty easy to see what matches will go long, what matches will be cut short. But, you know, for 4 hours, 9 matches, it's, you know, everybody's going to have ample time to, I guess, try to steal the show or showcase their skills, have you say. But I'm more in there for the experience. I've never been to the West Coast. I'm excited to be in that type of atmosphere. And just, you know, last year when we went to New Orleans, it was kind of fast-paced. We enjoyed it, but we didn't really enjoy it because we had other obligations, folks, that we went there. We did somewhat of a last-minute thing, got hotel reservations. We had the tickets. We had the plane all set. We had to come back right away. We didn't get a chance to stay for Raw or stay an extra couple of days to enjoy the atmosphere.
It went by so fast.
Yeah.
And you try to have like 3 days and fit 20 days into 3 days, and it just went by. Wow, next thing you know, we were back in.
It's not easy.
In the city.
But we tried our best.
But speaking of stealing the show, I think this show today has the chance of being right up there with the number one, the first show ever. Maybe we had Lisa Ann.
Adam Ronis.
John Canton.
And so this one Matthew Fox.
Matt
from
Fox.
The Fox Experience. He's one of our
experience.
First. He's our first guest.
The very first guest.
Yes. We hope to have him on as you know the season progresses into football.
As we get more into football and talk more Jets.
And it's funny, just backtracking a little bit, Jeff, from the first episode we have, if you listen to it, it's on SoundCloud, the High Spot episode 1. The state in which the franchise was back then and the way it is now, it's night and day. So I would love to have Matt back on the show.
Oh, he was so excited. He hit me up and he was like, man, let's go. All we need is a quarterback.
Exactly.
We'll find out if they will draft one in this upcoming draft, and we'll see if Geno Smith is the answer. God, I hope not. I'm sick and tired of Geno Smith. But I'm like I was saying before, though, this has the chance to be an all-time show because last week on Raw, there was a situation in the front row where fans were paying homage to superstars of the 80s and 90s, and you had Ric Flair, Macho Man Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan, Jake Roberts, Ultimate Warrior. And you could really see them as soon as you tune into the show. I was like, hey, look at that. And then we find out later on that, you know, they had to change their outfits because they were too distracting. So we have two of those fans from Iowa who are here on the show, IRS and Paul Bear. And we're excited to have them on. Zach Schledetsky and Joe Clark will join us here. They had notoriety. I mean, this got picked up by the Washington Post, got picked up by Fox Sports 1, and we have actually the ability to talk to them today. It's hard to get, but pulling a little strings and working a little magic, we were able to get them on today, and we hope you enjoy it because this is really one that we're proud of today.
Yeah, all credit goes to Jeff. He was able to reach out to these guys, get them on the show for you so we can, you know, hear first accounts of what happened. I mean, it's been said and it's been talked about. Again, we're going to have them on for you guys to listen to make sure of all the things that happened at that time and kind of a little backstory, too, you know, in terms of, you know, what brought about doing this, dressing up, the incidents that occurred at the show. And kind of a, you know, a little introduction per se of, you know, their you know, bucket list or things they hope to do in the near future because they're going to be following WWE and wrestling from this point on. It's not going to be a negative thing for them, and they're gonna run with it.
And we asked the questions that most people wanted to hear. So I think we did a really, really good job with this. We're not tooting our own horn, but
Stella, Jeff. Stella.
Stella. But I think we did a good job on this. And again, they were very nice. And they gave us a lot of time, actually. And we got everything straightened out. And actually, hey, we made some friends. They're going to be actually headed to Barclays Center for SummerSlam. Who knows? Maybe get them in here live. But again, we're doing stuff, you know, we want to be current. We didn't want to get this story like maybe a month ago. So we busted our butts. And we got them on a week later. So, I mean, they did a lot of media, and we're glad to have them on. And you will hear that later on in the show, as well as our WrestleMania review. You know what, Brian? I am going to get upbeat. I am going to get excited because, you know what? Okay, so I didn't do well with my bracket. So I got teased on by my girlfriend who had a better bracket than me, who still has three teams alive in her final four.
I never asked you. Who does she have winning?
Kentucky.
Okay.
But she has Arizona, Duke still alive. She had Villanova coming out of the East region, which they choked. And let me tell you something, Ryan. The Big East is not the same. It is not the same. So Villanova loses to NC State.
We went to a Devils game last night.
And looking at the list of who's in the Big East now, it's not the same. No Syracuse, no Louisville, no UConn. It's not the same. It's half of what it was.
Yeah, just like the New Jersey Devils. Half of what they were. Because we're at that game. They were a shell of their former self. But like you said, the Big East is not what it once was. The last time I remember really enjoying it was when Kemba Walker and UConn basically won the Big East, and that led to them winning the NCAA tournament. It used to be exciting, man. It's not exciting anymore.
Yeah.
And the way, you know, schools are being separated in terms of the ACC, Big East, all these conferences, it really begs the question of, like, how do you manage a level playing field? You can't. There is no such thing as a level playing field.
Is Kentucky still, to you, the team to beat in the tournament?
Without a question.
You got a little bit of scare from Cincinnati.
They did, but it's really theirs to lose. I don't think there's, and I'll be questioned on it countless times from experts, you know, who am I to make such a claim? But again, it's, you can look at it objectively and say, there's no team in this tournament that has the depth, the size, the speed, the strength, and just all in all camaraderie as this team does. They're on a mission, but at the same time, that has a lot of pressure behind it. And you like to hope that a team and the players and the coaches can be strong mentally to not let those things affect them. They dealt with it for a season, which I always go about, which is way too long, the regular season for college basketball. Comes kind of pointless at this point because it doesn't change anything in terms of standings in the bracket. But this is Kentucky's to lose. There's no team out there I think that can really compete with them, except maybe Notre Dame, but even that is stretching it.
I think Wisconsin has a good opportunity here. I think they match up a little bit, well. I think they can shoot the outside shot. I think they can give Kentucky trouble. So I'm going to look forward to see if Kentucky can shake off a little bit of their cockiness, because I think the last two games they came in a little too confident. And I think their play dipped a little bit, but I think it just to the level of their competition.
Now, I didn't see the Kentucky-Cincinnati game. Well, so just from you saw it, I didn't, unfortunately. I was working during that time. But what did Cincinnati do that was starting to give Kentucky trouble? Was it something that they were doing, or was it that Kentucky was just not living up to their own
standards?
Kentucky
just came out flat. Kentucky came out flat. Cincinnati was playing really well, moving the tempo, making their shots, getting inside. It really gave them fits for about maybe a half. It was close. And then again, Kentucky was Kentucky in the second half, and they just blew them out of the building. Now, I wouldn't say blew them out of the building, but I think they, you know, they settled down and then they established their game.
Mm-hmm. But with that being said, though, so is that giving an indication then you're saying they came out flat and really wasn't something that Wisconsin was doing? Cincinnati was doing. So can Wisconsin now have to hope that Kentucky comes in this game flat? Is their only opportunity to match up well against
them? I don't
think
for Wisconsin, Kentucky's going to come out flat, because I think that Kentucky is going to respect Wisconsin. But I think that what's evident in this tournament is that teams can compete with Kentucky for about a half, but then after that, two halves, it's going to be really tough. So I think Wisconsin has a shot. But again, what I've seen now is that, yeah, you could last a half with this team, but Kentucky in the end is just a little bit too dominant, has just a little bit too much height, too much depth on the bench. And we'll see. It's going to be interesting, though. I'm not as convinced that Kentucky can just blow out the whole field, so we'll see. It's really interesting.
We'll see as the upcoming days and weeks go by how this leads up. Again, I don't think we're ever going to waver away from Kentucky, but at the same time, a lot of these other teams are going to have to prove a lot and score a lot of points. If, you know, Kentucky only plays well for a half, they better get a very sizable lead, because Kentucky is known for coming back from big deficits. So a lot to be told in the upcoming weeks, Jeff. We'll see. I mean, our brackets are shot. We've talked about it numerous times before the tournament started, how that first week is so, it's like those 4 days, right? From like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's like you're glued.
Yeah,
maybe Sunday, not so much, because it's kind of died down a little bit. You've seen like the upsets and stuff like that, but yeah.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then even into Sunday, you get just a whole bunch of games, and you know, just sit back and enjoy the competition and the upsets. And again, I'm out of the bracket, but you know what? We turn the page. We turn the page on that. I'm not going to complain. And we will move on to our WrestleMania rundown. Quick hits, you know what? We'll take a back seat. Maybe we'll play some quick hits when we get on the road to WrestleMania. But when we come back, we're going to have the interview, Zach Sledetsky and Joe Clark. You're listening to The High Spot. Jeff Martin, Brian Berga. We'll be back. Oh, Brian, I am so excited because this is our very first segment of Voice of the Voiceless here on the High Spot Podcast. At High Spot Podcast is our Twitter.
Yes, now, please follow us on the Twitter.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, last week, Raw emanated from Des Moines, Iowa, and something happened that, you know, caught my eye. I was watching the front row of Raw, and you know what? Very detailed fans were dressed up as wrestlers, favorite 80s wrestlers. And I was like, wow, that's really great. That's awesome. That's showing a lot of support, a lot of, you know, you
could creativity as well.
Creativity. And so maybe I would say like 15 minutes into it, I didn't see them anymore. I didn't see them anymore. I was like, what happened? And something curious, after the show, we find out that WWE executive producer Kevin Dunn kind of had a problem with it because they were a little too distracting. But mind you, I didn't see them do anything, cause any scenes or anything like that.
Distracting to who?
Exactly. What, because we're distracted from a very, very awesome Divas match?
Yes, of course.
Heaven forbid that happens.
Heaven forbid that happens. We can't get enough Divas action.
But on the line with us is, it's actually awesome because here at the first ever Voice of the Voices segment, we have a chance to talk to Zach Sledetsky and Joe Clark, better known as IRS and Paul Bearer. And guys, welcome to the High Spot Podcast.
How's it going? Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
All right, guys. So basically what I want to know is, how long did it take you guys to get these costumes ready? Because it was very detailed. I saw the Twitter picture and I was like, wow, a lot of thought had to go into this. How long did you guys have the tickets for? How long did you guys know you're going to be at Raw?
So about 6 months ago, kind of a guy who spearheaded a lot of this, he hooked us up. He had about 10 front row tickets and he said, hey, I know everyone here is diehard fans. I want everyone to come with the stipulation that you dress up as an old school wrestler. And so, obviously, we were all on board with the idea. We were really excited. I actually picked out IRS because it was a pretty easy get-up. I mean, that was a quick trip to Kohl's with some suspenders and a red tie. But the other guys, I know, like, for Ric Flair and for Randy Savage, I know that their moms actually handcrafted their robes.
Awesome moms.
My mom helped me when I was Hulk Hogan for Halloween when I was in the sixth grade.
Perfect, yeah. I mean, moms are the greatest supporters of wrestling.
They are. They get it. Although they don't get it, they get that we enjoy it and we love it.
Yeah, exactly. As far as Paul Bearer, Zach, how long did it take you?
I used to be a big fan of Undertaker. I was thinking about doing that. Didn't know if I could pull it off. But Paul Bearer kind of seemed like the go-to route. At that point, I had everything I really needed. I just needed to find an urn. So I found that at a thrift store. It was super easy. Kind of just got my get-up together.
I hope you cleaned it out before you took it to Raw.
Sorry?
I hope you rinsed it out before you went to Raw. You don't know where that urn came from.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my mom actually did end up getting it for me as well. The makeup I kind of just nabbed from her, too. But everything worked out great. I mean, you know, from the beginning of the show until afterwards, even we were taking pictures with folks. So that was kind of cool.
All right. So how long was it before you guys got noticed when you went to Raw? Did you guys get dressed at home and then you guys drove to Raw, or you guys got dressed when you got there?
So we actually dressed up, at the arena around a couple hours before the show, and then we all just walked downtown in Des Moines and went to a bar, and everyone grabbed a drink, and we were just kind of carousing around very casually in our full get-up. So it was a lot of fun to have, you know, 10 of us in very intricately detailed costumes in a random bar. It was a lot of fun. And everyone there was for Raw as well. So kind of as Zach said, out of the gates, you know, we had a lot of kids taking pictures of us, a lot of adults taking pictures of us.
So you guys were actually celebrities down there. Everybody wanted to take their picture with you, get autographs probably, you know, get your Twitter handle.
Well, it's actually kind of funny. The guy that dressed up as Randy Savage, he did this the previous time, and, like, Michelle Beadle from Sports Nation was tweeting at him real hard, and he actually wrestled with the real Jim Duggan and Ted DiBiase at a local Des Moines event.
Being that he's an amateur wrestler.
Yeah, so he was actually an independent wrestler back way, way back in the day. And so he has experience in the ring, and he actually wrestled with them for what's called Bacon Mania, and he was as Randy Savage then. So he has a cool little following amongst the wrestling community in Des Moines, which is awesome.
So who was the most recognizable? I mean, did all you guys get recognized? Which one was the most recognizable? Probably Hogan?
I'd say Macho Man for sure, just because he is a dead ringer for him. I was actually quite surprised. Everyone was real, real, real surprised that IRS has a decent fan base, which I thought that it would be definitely the more obscure one, but there was a good number of people that got it. Paul Bearer, I feel like after the fact, has probably gotten the most recognition just through Twitter and whatnot. So, yeah, everyone pretty much was real well recognized, which I think was a testament to just kind of the costumes in general. And it's not like, you know, we weren't, like you say, being overly distracting. I mean, we would be in character, but it wouldn't detract. And that's both in front of the camera and even, you know, when you're just kind of walking around. I mean, it was all part of the fun.
Now, when you got to the arena and you guys took your seats, anybody notice you guys, any of the wrestlers, anybody, you know, with the ring crew notice you, say hi to you guys at all?
I would say, I mean, you can, like, toss out stuff. Like, I felt like Michael Cole and JBL were kind of laughing up a little bit. I think, who was it that came out first? I mean, throughout the night, yeah, Seth Rollins, or one of those two, I feel like kind of looked over and maybe gave us a little bit of a grin. But I would say throughout the night, there would be random people who would kind of acknowledge it a little bit. Specifically, I mean, at the end, John Cena came down to us, which I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but at that time, there was a dark match at the end, and we figured since the cameras are off, we threw our costumes back on. And he came down, and he actually grabbed a ringside photographer and had him snap a picture of the whole crew of us. So that's kind of the ironic part about all the whole saga.
That is awesome. And if Jeff and I were there in Des Moines, Iowa, we would definitely have been there as well, joining you guys in the process. I love it. The funny thing about that is you never get a group of guys and everybody's like, oh yeah, we should do this, we should do that, but you guys are living proof that, you know, band of guys get together and have a good time.
Total camaraderie.
Camaraderie, because most people wouldn't do that walking around in the arena, and you guys pulled it off tremendously. But my question for you guys is, at what point, I mean, we know at what point you were approached, but who basically came up and approached you guys to start talking to you guys about your wardrobe and the possibility of you know, changing clothes because it was too distracting. I'm using air quotes.
Yeah, you know, about 15 minutes into the show, everything was fine. You know, we were kind of just going through the motions. Like the Divas match was going on when you said,
and everybody was going to concessions. Yeah.
Oh, you got to do it. Yeah.
Because it's a Diva match.
And right after that, one of the security guards kind of approached the guy that was on the end, talked to him for a little bit. He ended up signaling towards us. During commercial, we all walked out. Essentially, then one of the main, I guess, lead security guards, you know, kind of led us to the side. From there, he basically just told us, you know, he loves our enthusiasm, likes our costumes. It's just that we're too distracting. We're right in every shot. You know, we're literally the center of attention, I guess, beyond the ring. And from then on, he just kind of gave us the ultimatum that we either had to move or had to change.
And so, if you couldn't change, then you're, was there ever any point where they said, you know, ejection or anything out of the arena, or that wasn't an option?
It didn't really get to that. We obviously tried to kind of argue our point for a second. After about a minute, we realized we weren't going to win this battle, so we didn't want to move. We loved our seats. You know, we liked that we were obviously on TV, so we kind of asked them what our options are. They suggested that they could get us some T-shirts, and at that point, that seemed like the only option we had to stay where we were at.
Okay.
So we got the T-shirts.
Did you guys at least get a choice of what T-shirts you wanted to get?
Nope, I had to take a John Cena T-shirt.
Oh, no. I'd rather have gotten ejected from the building. I'm sorry.
I would have rather worn a Bella Twin shirt or something like that. Oh, man.
Oh, believe me, I thought about just leaving, but...
And I could see in the photos you guys posted on Twitter, you know, none of you guys were happy wearing, or maybe a few of them.
Sad faces.
A lot of sad faces, not just because you had to change your costumes, but you were wearing John Cena T-shirts.
That's exactly it. Paul Bear, especially myself. But, you know what? The coolest part about this whole thing, honestly, was that when we sat there, you know, they're making us change into this T-shirt, so it's still commercial. We're putting on these shirts. All of the fans around us just start booing.
I was going to ask you, there must have been an uproar with the fans because they loved it. And you even said it too, like some of the superstars were like looking at you, giving you grins, and obviously they enjoyed what you were doing. Then, think of it as a distraction because they obviously have a job to do. Yeah, I'm sure the crowd was just like, you suck, or you know, just booing them out of the building, security guards.
Absolutely. We're just trying to have fun, obviously, and then we have to do something like that. And all the fans around us started booing, then other people started booing. You know, it was kind of just a trickle-down effect.
I mean, it was almost like everyone, I feel like, you know, on your message boards and websites nowadays kind of complains about wrestling and WWE being too corporate nowadays, and I just feel like with Zach having to be in his Paul Bearer getup and a John Cena shirt in the front row, it's just the absolute perfect imagery and just like metaphor for what people view WWE as nowadays, which is just, I mean, it almost added to the experience for me personally. It's just like, how ironic can it get? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think what sucks the most is the thought and detail you guys put into it. And again, watching Raw, you guys are like the first thing that I saw. I was telling Brian, look, there's Nature Boy, there's Ric Flair and Hogan and Savage. And I think that's what, I think the time and effort you guys put into it, I think that's what sucks the most. But getting back to like the way WWE says they're fan friendly, and you guys are basically paying homage to the wrestlers, to the guys that paved the way for the superstars that are on TV right now. Like, do you think that WWE has lost some touch with their fans?
Well, that's the thing, is that like I think what my theory is that they probably thought that we were trying to, you know, troll them pretty hard, when in reality, I'm the guy that gets super upset when someone says wrestling isn't real. You know what I mean?
It's like, still real to me, damn it.
We're the ones that are going to bat for them real hardcore. And, I mean, you know, we have pay-per-view parties. Like, literally, four of my best friends and I, they live in different parts of the country. Every pay-per-view, we're on Skype watching it live together, you know? And so even after this, you know, we're still diehard fans. It's not going to change. It is a little disheartening when, you know, they make you change like that. And it's just like, I mean, for me personally, I just thought it was still awesome being front row, doing this, snapping selfies with Cena. I mean, I'm a little kid when it comes to that. I do know, though, for a lot of the guys, it was very disappointing. And it did affect the rest of the night, because that takes away part of the fun, you know?
Now, I don't know, you guys here in New York, but to get front row seats to Raw here in New York or anywhere in the tri-state area, it's like maybe about $300. So when I said $100, I'm like, boy, I better go see an event in Des Moines, because that's the only way I'm ever going to sit front row. And you guys, I mean, again, were lucky enough to be down there. And again, to me, it just sucks for you guys, because honestly, you guys put the time and effort. Has WWE contacted you at all after this? And how many media outlets reached out to you this last week and a half?
I guess kind of the bridge from what we were just talking about to that, it, I was at first really surprised that the story at all gained any traction, because I guess my thought process was this sort of thing happens all the time where people dress up and they get kicked out or they're unruly or something happens like that. But I guess then looking back, like the way we got the tickets and like it was kind of a, the whole thing was kind of a freak occurrence and kind of a perfect storm of, you know, we're ring post to ring post and then we decided to dress up as wrestlers and then
all of which are old wrestlers, you know, just paying homage to them and everything like that.
Yeah, so I guess it was just kind of a unique situation and how it panned out. And I think it really started to take off because the guy that played Macho Man, who he's the one that kind of set up everything, and he was, he's shied away from the spotlight. He's not really, whereas I'm very upfront where, oh yeah, I want to plug my movie or plug this or plug that. I'm very upfront. He has shied away from the spotlight because honestly, I just feel like, as lame as it sounds, but like his feelings were kind of hurt by the whole thing, you know. He brought in all his friends into town to do this real fun thing and kind of just got trounced out of the gate. But he basically wrote a letter to the WWE, emailed them, and then he also posted it on Reddit. And that's where it got reposted on Reddit like 1,500 times or something ridiculous. And from there, it started getting picked up on different social media outlets and then through Fox Sports. And eventually, like, the Washington Post grabbed a hold of it. And,
you guys are famous.
It's been getting around. It's been a fun random.
Has TMZ approached you guys?
No.
Is there a movie in the works?
Yeah.
A documentary, a behind the scenes.
The sad story of Paul Bearer and a John Cena t-shirt. That's the title of the movie.
I think every one of the 10 people did end up emailing WWE, and we basically all got the same generic response from them of, sorry for your inconvenience, you and your 9 friends will have 9 tickets for you for the next event. So very, again, corporate-y.
Okay.
We don't know where the seats would be. We don't know, you know, what if costumes would be allowed or anything like that. And really, like I said, those guys, they weren't in it for the free tickets. They just wanted to know why.
Did they wish you well on your future endeavors?
Probably, yeah. That's the biggest thing when they reached out is they just want to know why that we had a change and why the reasoning. But, they just threw out some pretty – I get it. I totally get where the WWE is coming from. I get that that's how they're going to handle it. It is what it is. I actually – again, this is my exploit of self. I'm actually going to SummerSlam in Brooklyn this year on your side of the territory, and I tried to finagle that.
Nice. We were trying to get tickets for that, but it was, like, sold out right away, and obviously we don't need hotel accommodations. We would have been right there with you. We would be like, we'll all dress up together.
Dude, in 2 seconds, the Barclays was sold out.
We'll meet on the outside, and we'll see the return of IRS. Oh,
we'd love to have you live in here and get a chance to talk to you guys too. See, do a follow up.
Well, you guys brought up an interesting thing that I was just thinking about when you guys were talking about how you had to change and all those things of them sending you a letter and saying sorry for your inconvenience. I mean, something that popped in my head. I mean, you guys were paying homage to the old school era, which we all grew up watching and we loved. That's why we love watching, you know. To me and Jeff, it's still professional wrestling. They call it sports entertainment. Call it whatever you want. You know, it doesn't matter. It's still the same thing in my perspective. But you think the same thing would have happened if you guys, say, you know, dressed up as, you know, Seth Rollins or somebody dressed up as Randy Orton or somebody dressed up as, you know, Kane or The Big Show or even John Cena, though we all hate John Cena, from what I could tell. You think you guys would have gotten the same reaction to that? And then one more thing, and I guess it's kind of a two-parter. Do you think now when you go to live events, I mean, because you guys are the wrestling fans. You know, we always hear people who cover it and they give it from their perspective of the business side, but as you... Do you feel you can actually go there and enjoy it like you used to do, like during the Attitude Era, for example?
I would say, starting off the second part, I mean, like I said, even after we were forced to change, I was still 12 years old at heart watching the whole event. As soon as Sting showed up, I had a ton of people text me saying, "We're laughing because you're absolutely freaking out." Like I said, I'm actually a fan of John Cena. I got a selfie with him. So I stole like every 12-year-old's wildest wet dream. in the matter of like 10 minutes. So it's like, I'm not going to, you know, throw a fit about this or that. I have absolute blast, and I still can. That being said.
Right. You know, what happened happened. But I mean, when we look back on it, we're sitting front row, you know, for a Monday Night Raw event a few weeks before WrestleMania. Everything is awesome. You know, obviously, like Joe just said, we got to see Sting. We got to see most of the main stars. You know, we had to change. We had to go through that whole deal. But, God, it was still fun. It's still wrestling. You know, it's still the WWE. It's still a main deal. So it was still pretty fun.
And speaking of Sting now, WrestleMania is this weekend. Are you guys excited, looking forward to it? Have you guys ever been to WrestleMania?
No, that's a huge bucket list item. I mean, like I said, we're going to SummerSlam, which is arguably second biggest show. But I feel like you can't die a wrestling fan without going to WrestleMania.
For sure, yep. But
it would have been sick to see the story carry momentum to
them flying us out for the...
Wow, that would have been... That would have made up for it.
Best case scenario, we're sitting front row dressed in the same costumes at WrestleMania, but we knew that wasn't going to happen. So,
which I was actually thinking, I mean, with WrestleMania, how many dressed-up people will be there?
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something from being there personally. It is like, you know how I used to make fun of people, and I don't know if you guys are like Star Wars fans and stuff, but I would make fun of all the people that go to like the Comic-Con and go to like, or you know, those Star Wars conventions and all that stuff. And I was like, look at these guys, you know? But going to WrestleMania last year, it was like, I was like, dude, I'm actually like in a convention. Everyone was dressed. Everyone was yelling, yes, yes, yes. They had their Daniel Bryan beards. I saw a CM Punk. And a bunch of people dressed up as the wrestlers. I mean,
yeah, you guys would have fit in perfectly in that crowd.
Parking the car, we walk up to the parking lot. We see a guy dressed like Bray Wyatt. We're like, "Yo, good luck tonight, man!" And it was, let me tell you, it was a great atmosphere. So you know, hopefully, you guys get to experience WrestleMania. But it was funny though, because I used to make fun of those people going to the conventions, and I was actually in one last year.
How was it seeing The Undertaker lose live?
Let me tell you something. I don't know how you guys saw the pay-per-view. You guys had a party?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it was dead silence.
You could literally, and it gets used a lot, it's an old cliche, you could hear a pin drop. A lot of people, you wouldn't probably see it while you were watching it, were actually leaving the building.
Wow.
They just couldn't believe that it happened. They thought it was a mess-up. They thought the refs screwed up. They thought there's an issue here, you know, something went wrong. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I thought the refs screwed up for sure. I mean, there was a lot of screaming and hollering in our apartment. It was I'll go on YouTube once in a while, just look up live crowd reactions on film, cell phones and stuff. I find that just super fascinating.
Wow. So, any match you guys are looking forward to though this year at WrestleMania?
I'm curious as to how they're gonna pull off Sting, Triple H, and Undertaker Wyatt, just seeing as, like, I mean, speaking of Undertaker Brock, he looked rough last year.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he hasn't wrestled since, hasn't been on TV since, and Wyatt, his style is apparently pretty hard to work with as well. So I'm more or less curious as how do you pull off a good match with that combination? And, you know, same thing with Sting, Triple H. Triple H he's getting up there in age. Sting's up there. Obviously they're going to be playing off the spectacle aspect of it to really sell the story and whatnot. I'm not too crazy about the card. I don't even know how Brock and Roman Reigns will be a good match, but, I think the ladder match will be a lot of fun, and hopefully Seth, Randy Orton, which should be a lot of fun too.
Well, guys, like we said, we hope you add that to your bucket list. Who knows, maybe in two other WrestleManias, it might be here in Philly. Those are the rumors. Maybe you guys can, you know, maybe go there. It should be in Texas next year. So
Jerryland, man. Let's book it. Let's go.
You know, hopefully you guys get a chance to experience, because Jeff and I did it about 2 years straight, and it is one of those things that once you do it once, it's addictive. You want to do it again. Guys, okay. I just want to go out there and thank you so much for coming on. We are thankful for your time. And, you know, where can people reach you?
So I actually run with Zach Assistants. We run a film production company here in Iowa. We have Back Row Studios. We're producing a Christmas talking dog movie called Up on the Wooftop.
Cool. Nice title.
T-O-P. Yeah, you can find us at backrowstudios.com. Zach?
Yeah, the title's brilliant, but the movie's going to be even better. Just to say this as well, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/uponthewooftop. And, yeah, looking forward to a great WrestleMania this Sunday.
All right, it's probably a great movie. We'll give it 2 paws up. Just going on with the whole movie.
Here. But,
listen, guys, thank you very much. Keep in touch. Hopefully we get to meet up for SummerSlam.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
All right. All right, take it easy, guys.
If you are not psyched up for WrestleMania 31 weekend, then you're either dead, or I don't know where I was going with that, but someone must be wrong with you. Folks, you're listening back to The High Spot. Brian Berger, Jeff Martin.
There was a thing on The Simpsons about Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Oh, yeah, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Either you're live or dead or in jail. If you're in jail,
break out!
Speedway, speedway, speedway. Yes. That's very appropriate for this opening here on The High Spot. Folks, hit us up on The High Spot on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. We want to hear your thoughts. What do you think about WrestleMania 31? They're not even calling it WrestleMania 31. It's just WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's WrestleMania now.
Do you like that?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. Like, 2 years later, they'll change it back. When they go to 35 or 40, they'll put back the Roman numerals.
I miss the Roman numerals. That just made it more special for me. But yes, folks, Jeff and I are only a few short days away when we make that long 6-hour flight. I'll probably be sleeping during it, or we'll be passed out, man, during it.
You know what? I have no problem falling asleep.
I can't fall asleep in a plane. I mean, when we went to New Orleans.
I can't either, but I'm so tired that I will have no problem this time.
Yeah, but every single time I fall asleep on the plane when we're heading over to New Orleans last year, like, my head is sinking, and like, I wake up and my neck is killing me. It's like, for some reason, my head's always leaning forward. I can't keep it.
I wonder if the plane will play a WWE movie so that we can really fall asleep. Maybe the Marine.
Yeah.
Or maybe we can
the Tooth Fairy.
This is new.
The Chauffeur. The Marine 4, yes. Or, you know, 12 rounds, 2. Would that make it 14 rounds or 24 rounds?
24 rounds.
Yeah. Oh, God. Their movies are awful. But, yeah, Jeff, we want to talk about the lineup, WrestleMania, the card, the experiences, what we plan on doing there. But breaking news.
We got to get to the breaking news.
That broke out. No pun intended. Breaking news broke out.
Broke out like a 16-year-old's face on prom night.
Jeff. That happened to you?
How'd you know? Oh, that's right. I just told you.
Yes, folks, but the breaking news in the WWE, the last couple of weeks, month actually, have been rumors about, you know, Brock Lesnar's contract coming up. Would he go back to MMA? I mean, we saw him, you know, even around the Royal Rumble where he physically looked different. He wasn't gigantic and big. I guess he was planning on that. He was making efforts to go back to mixed martial arts, either the UFC or Bellator. And those were the rumors, and the contract was coming up, and people were always talking, what's going on, what's going on? Is this going to lead to the storyline? Does this mean Roman Reigns is going to walk out as the champion? Does that mean Brock's going to keep and maybe unify the WWE World Heavyweight title and the UFC title? But, folks, all those rumors now have been laid to rest. Because
Brock Lesnar
has officially signed or re-signed a contract with the WWE.
Bro, you sound so much like Paul Heyman.
I know. I didn't know what got into me. I just
are you that excited?
Clear my throat and say,
Brock Lesnar!
Because I said it in my normal voice, it wouldn't be doing any justice. Thank you. I've been practicing.
That was awesome.
I've been practicing, which means I have no life. But I've been practicing for it. And Jeff, for me, I was kind of surprised by the timing. I thought this is something that was going to be settled maybe after WrestleMania. We both know that.
Oh, no. Vince wanted this done by Monday, this Monday. And he made it pretty clear. And I guess Vince McMahon made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
He did make him an offer he couldn't refuse. I mean, I guess he put enough zeros in the check. It'll make a guy stay, which we've talked about before. It's all about the money, Jeff. It's all about the money.
Yeah, you work part-time with full-time pay? Who wouldn't take that?
I would. I just want to be paid anything right now. Be paid my worth. But no, folks, Brock Lesnar actually broke the news. And it wasn't, you know, a lot of people reported, a lot of pro wrestling websites. Even ESPN posted it on their website. And
yeah,
Brock Lesnar even
was on with the coach.
Was on with the coach, courtesy of ESPN, folks. And we want to show you, or not show you, but have you listen in on the conversation that Brock Lesnar had with Jonathan Coachman about re-signing with the WWE and leaving MMA behind.
Aren't you incredibly proud of yourself that you did something nobody else has been able to do, and that is be a WWE champion, then be a legitimate UFC champion? And you talked about being an entertainer, and now you're really choosing games over practice because now you get to essentially have games 4 days a week in front of 15, 20,000 people instead of practicing for two times a year. Was that a big part of your decision?
Absolutely. I think the older you get, the wiser you become. And I didn't want to be that guy that retired and came back. So there was a lot of different things that went through my mind. Like I said, this just wasn't an overnight decision. This was a long, heartfelt decision that you weigh out the pros, you weigh out the cons. And at the end of the day, last night, old Vince McMahon put the offer on the table that I couldn't refuse. And that's really when it comes down to business and money and health and well-being. I've been on both sides of the spectrum. I've been in a bad position with my health. I've been in a bad position with my money. And now I'm in a great position with both, and I'm happy. I love what I'm doing. I work a limited schedule. I work part-time with full-time pay, like everybody wants, but you can't have just me. So I'm happy.
We got about 15, 20 seconds, Brock. You mentioned the word fun. And for you, it's always been kind of difficult to be that open, fun guy. But it seems like you're very at ease with this decision. How much fun now do you plan on having, especially Sunday?
Well, if you can't watch me in the ring and not be entertained and not think that I'm not having any fun, then there's something definitely wrong. I love that. I love being in the squared circle. I always have, but I always hated the outside ambiance about everything else. There's the old saying in the business, it's all fake, but the money and the miles. And the miles, I just, they weren't good for me. They just absolutely, me and the highway did not get along.
Roman Reigns, you can't. And you won't believe that,
bitch. Yeah. You heard it, folks, from the horse's mouth. I'm not offending Brock Lesnar. It's
probably
just an
the
expression.
Most words that Brock Lesnar said in a whole year.
True. Because Paul Heyman did all the talking for him. I was surprised Paul Heyman wasn't there on ESPN talking to Jonathan Coachman about the decision, because Brock has not known to be talked. But, you know, this is the first time, Jeff, in a long time we've actually heard Brock Lesnar speak on this topic. I'm sure it's been asked time and time again, and we know he's not always prone to do interviews and segments, and, you know, he's not much of a people person. He likes to keep to himself. He's very private. So for him actually coming out here, and you listen to the tone of his voice, how at ease he was, you know, him saying, you know, for those who think I'm not having fun, you know, they might be, you know, something's wrong with them. Well, yeah, you play it so well that, you know, you're in there for the money and you're a mercenary. What other way are we supposed to interpret you being there, just buying your time before you go to UFC? But now it's official. He's going to be there. The schedule is going to be the same somewhat. There's no details on the schedule yet
or the money.
Gonna work.
But it's a lot.
Yeah, we know it's a lot. With the money, we'd have to assume it's a lot in order to keep Brock Lesnar. So he's not going to go for less than probably what he got. Probably made more than what he made this year or under this contract.
Hey, but you know what, Vince McMahon? At the end of the day, he made the right choice. You had to get this done because Brock Lesnar is, like we were saying before, a special attraction unlike I've never seen before. I could say Andre the Giant comes close, but as far as in my generation growing up, Brock Lesnar, from just the look, the build, the monster, the beast, everything, Brock Lesnar, when he walks out to the ring, I mean, things just stop, and all eyes are on Brock Lesnar. And I say it's a good idea. It's good for both sides because Brock, you know what, MMA would have taken a lot of energy, a lot of toll. You really have to invest a lot. And for him, and he knows his body, and he is going to decide to do WWE. And you know what? You know who wins? The WWE fans.
Yes. Us, the wrestling fans, win. But he even said it in that segment we were just listening to. This wasn't a decision he took lightly. He took a lot of time to think about it because what I brought up before about the Royal Rumble, he came back looking extremely different. I mean, he's still a huge guy, but he looked a lot slimmer. He had cut weight. I really felt, and I knew people that know Brock, you know, I'm not an insider guy, but I knew people that kind of knew him somewhat in general. They're friends of his. They're saying that he was leaning more towards the other side, going back to mixed martial arts. And he's kind of a prideful guy. And I don't think maybe in his mind he was like, I don't want my last MMA fight to end that way because I wasn't 100%. I want to be 100% this time and go out kind of on your shield. But like you said, Vince offered him an offer he couldn't refuse. And you can't blame the guy for taking it. And at the same time, the only question that you know comes to my mind is not necessarily what happens WrestleMania and post-WrestleMania, but you know, he said it himself, you know, I'm a part-time guy being paid full-time money. We all wish we had that. I'm sure all the roster in the WWE, NXT, wish they had that. I mean, does that kind of divide the roster? Does that kind of leave a bitter taste?
Because they know who Brock Lesnar is. They know they're not giving it to some... I mean, I see the problem with The Rock because he's a Hollywood guy and he shouldn't be given that kind of attention, per se. But with Brock Lesnar, I mean, come on, he puts butts in the seat. Let's be honest, okay? He puts butts in the seats.
Yes, but it's not
and
just him who puts
any,
butts in the
if
seats,
any
Jeff.
If any WWE superstar has a problem with it, then you know what? Try to beat Brock Lesnar.
Well, no, we know nobody's going to be or beat Brock Lesnar. But at the same time, like if you and I are working our tails off, right? And then there's this guy who's
it's
an
life.
Attraction.
It's life. Some people just have more privileges than others.
I get that. But again, if that's the case, then hey, what's the point of me hanging around? And now you're probably like, well, if you don't like it, leave. Okay, what if they take that road and leave? You have TNA, Lucha Underground.
Look, there's
still the independent circuit.
Look, there's one point where you have to realize, you know what? And it sucks because it shouldn't be, but it's part of life. You got to realize what your role is. Plain and simple.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there are a lot of people in the locker room that won't accept that, and there might be some revolt and
but
some.
Who's revolted when he signed this deal? Who revolted?
We haven't heard anything yet.
No, but. When he came back 3 years ago, who revolted about that contract? Who had a problem with it? Who had a problem with it?
Nobody, from what I could tell. But again, they didn't have the mindset. He was coming back for a few matches, not knowing he was going to be champion, not knowing he was going to hold the belt and then be off every 4 or 5 months. So then you start hearing people having a problem with it. That's when it started. And then depending if he leaves WrestleMania 31 and still is the champion, it's going to be the same thing over and over again because you'd be, in my opinion, I'm not a booker, but you'd be, you know, dumb not to keep him as the champion and keep having Roman Reigns go after him unless you want Roman Reigns to be the guy. And then people are going to be like, okay, so what? We're going to deal with another 2, 3, depending how long the contract is, years of this continually going on?
Oh, well, someone will beat him eventually. I think they know that they can't keep the title on him much longer. I think that, I think this is all a buildup for Roman Reigns.
Well, let me ask you this, Jeff. For the fact that you said they probably know they can't keep the title on Lesnar longer, do you think even if they did, would it affect it? From this point on, has the WWE title, the WWE World Heavyweight title, lost its luster because it hasn't been defended every pay-per-view?
I don't think so.
Has it gained anything
you know
in
what
terms
it does?
Of more
yes,
of a...
it has gained because now, from where we hear, Triple H is going to try to have Cena become the U.S. champion and Daniel Bryan be the Intercontinental champion. And what not having the WWE title has done is it's elevated those titles. It'll give them an opportunity to elevate those titles. And during the summer, maybe,
They're going to try to push Cena and Bryan to be their faces and give that title meaning. It's about damn time. And if it had to be that we were out of having a WWE champion for about 6-7 months, so be it. It was worth it. Because if Cena's going to give legitimacy to that U.S. title and Bryan is going to make that Intercontinental title mean something, then by all means, the sacrifice of the WWE title for 7 months was worth it.
Yeah. But, I mean, you brought a great point, too, about talking about the titles being elevated. John Cena and Daniel Bryan. How much it must be sticking in their craw right now. Like, John Cena, all the crap I had to go through doing all the house shows.
John Cena had his
doing
moments.
All the pay-per-views. But he had to go through and defend it every single time. And now Lesnar, who's the face of the company, is not going to be defending it. If he walks out of WrestleMania the champion, this is all hypothetical.
How many people
we don't know.
Are saying, oh, John Cena, he never puts me over. He's always this Superman. Don't you think there are people complaining about that? That he didn't make them look good in the ring? And Daniel Bryan has no complaints. And I love
Daniel
Bryan.
Well, people said the same thing about Hulk Hogan. And then Hulk Hogan and John Cena came out and said, yeah, they won't let me. It's a company decision.
And I love Daniel Bryan to death. But if there's anybody to blame where he is, it's himself.
Why? How is it
well, I'm not,
he to blame?
Look, it's unfortunate he got injured.
But wait, you said he has nobody to blame but himself.
Well, look, if he never got his opportunity last year, then I'd be like, yo, listen, give this guy a shot. And the WWE fans still clam for him, and that's fine. But the WWE is moving on. They're not going to listen to them, and they're not going to have Daniel Bryan pushed on them.
Okay, but I still don't get your point when you said he has nobody to blame but himself to
about
be in the
injury.
Position he's in.
About the injury.
How can he control that?
That's fine, but it is unfortunate he can't control the injury. But, again, what does he expect? The WWE was, I would say,
he expects to get,
to
he expects
the
them to give him the same time of courtesy that they gave a guy like Brock Lesnar, for example. I'm not comparing the two because it's apples and oranges. Of course, you're going to have Brock Lesnar not defend it for 3 months. But again, if you're going to make us the smart wrestling fan or give us some legitimacy because he's injured, he can't wrestle for 3 months or 9 months, which Daniel Bryan was out. Brock Lesnar could do the same thing and get away with it. So where's the fairness there? Is it just because he's a better draw?
Unfortunately, yeah.
And you believe that. You believe that Daniel Bryan has nobody to blame but himself for his injury. So if he wasn't injured, maybe we wouldn't be talking about this right
now. Look, here is the WWE that finally decided to give him the opportunity last year, although I know it was kind of forced because it just fell in
their
lap.
Yeah, it wasn't finally decided.
Right. Exactly.
It was decided by somebody else.
It fell in their lap. And they had this whole Daniel Bryan machine going. And I knew in the back of their minds, they were like, oh, we still don't believe in this guy. And again, I love Daniel Bryan. I'm not taking anything away from Daniel Bryan. I'm not saying anything bad about him. But the reality
kind of
is,
are.
No.
By saying
no,
he's nobody to blame but
you,
himself.
I'm telling you what the reality is. And in life, okay, real stuff, the truth hurts. So for the sacrifices that he made in becoming and pushing for that title, he got injured through no fault of his own. But he can't expect the WWE to have faith in him again. They can't.
I see where we're going with this, but it just doesn't make any sense to me.
This is a, again, I gave Brian homework a while ago talking about Daniel Bryan, and we'll get to that eventually. But we're going off in a little other tangent. But back to Brock Lesnar. That's the story. And Brock Lesnar, for the time being and for the foreseeable future, is WWE giving up, fully retiring from MMA.
Jeff, God bless you for segueing. You know, finally got it.
I know. And let's do the WrestleMania lineup.
Now we're better off talking about Daniel Bryan or John Cena. This lineup is fairly weak, but yeah, let's go through it. Let's start from the bottom up this time.
Well, I wouldn't know where the bottom. Where the bottom is.
Well, the bottom would be, I would assume it's the pre-show.
Right.
I mean, that's the opening thing. I'm sure there's going to be a dark match, like a battle royal type of thing.
No.
Although the Andre the Giant Memorial is that, you know.
All right, then. So we will. We'll go to the pre-show, and I'm sure the Usos, Los Matadores.
Come on, man. You're Spanish.
Los Matadores.
Yes.
New Day.
Cesaro. Nobody cares.
And Tyson Kidd. Again, we saw this kind of like last year.
Yeah, and last year it was actually a really good showing. But it was really just the Usos and Swagger and the Cesaro.
All right, so I'm going to say Cesaro and Kidd retain the titles.
I'll go with that too. I'm excited for them, but I don't think they're getting these this
I know, obviously some
weird
getting the respect.
Chemistry. Yeah, they're not getting their respect
because they're on the pre-show. Then you got AJ Lee and Paige versus the Bellas again. I think the Bellas, hey, as long as they're dating Daniel Bryan and John Cena, they're gonna get the win.
Yeah, and Daniel Bryan has nobody to blame for his marriage but himself.
There you go. The Andre the Giant Battle Royal. I think we all think Sheamus is going to come back in this one and win the Royal.
Well, I didn't say he was going to win the Divas match. I'd say it's AJ and Paige. I think he's set to come back. They've been doing the vignettes and the montages, whatever you want to call them, for so long. People are saying, you know, he might be involved with Daniel Bryan, but I think a best way to bring him back right now to make him somewhat relevant, have him win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. There's no other way to bring him back with such high impact to get him ready for, you know, post-Raw, leaning into SummerSlam and all those other pay-per-views. You just hope he doesn't fall into the same circle as Cesaro did, because that was supposed to be the highlight of his career and ended up being the worst thing that could have ever happened to him.
All right, the IC title match, the ladder match, which I think will steal the show and I think should open WrestleMania to get everybody excited. I'm going to say, like I said before, we were talking about it, I think Daniel Bryan becomes the IC champion, and I think he finally gets to add validity and add meaning to the IC title.
That's a tough one. It's definitely going to be R-Truth. I have a suspicion.
R-Truth?
I said it's definitely not going
to
be R-Truth.
Oh, I'm about to say.
Because I know how much you love him. I know how much you like R-Truth. But I got to say, I'm looking at Ziggler running away with this one.
Running away?
Yeah.
Wow. Running away.
Yeah.
Over Ambrose and Daniel Bryan.
As much as you say, you know, the WWE doesn't believe in Daniel Bryan,
what
I don't think they believe.
For Ziggler?
I don't believe the WWE believes in Dean Ambrose. If you've been watching Raw and SmackDown, you kind of see that there's kind of this little edge now going to Dolph Ziggler. He's always been cocky. He's always thought he's the best. But now he's really having an issue. He's won two straight matches with Daniel Bryan one-on-one. He's beating him clean, countered his kicks or whatever it is, his finishers, flying knees. He's done it convincingly.
Isn't that usually set up in a loss?
You would think, but it doesn't. Jeff, how many times have we seen... If your theory were correct, right, maybe back maybe 4 years ago, that'd be the truth. Maybe 5 years ago. But most of the time, we'd always be like, ah, this guy won straight. He won the match before the pay-per-view. He's going to lose. That's not always the case anymore. Sometimes, if they're going to bury Daniel Bryan, they're going to bury him. And that's what's going to happen. Ziggler's going to come out with it. And he's a better heel than he is a face. And I know you agree with me, because that's why you're so quiet right now. And you're just standing there in utter shock because you know you can't say anything.
Because what is Ziggler going to do with the title again for the 100th time?
Drop it
in 2 weeks?
What is Daniel Bryan going to do with it either? Tell me. They didn't trust him as the World Heavyweight Champion, right? So what?
The Intercontinental title is different. It's secondary.
It's secondary, but it's supposed to be the workhorse, the next guy, right? What has Dolph Ziggler done as a face? Absolutely nothing, Jeff. What did he do as a heel? Everybody was cheering for him to win the World Heavyweight title at WrestleMania 29.
Money on you with this one, then at Mania, when we watch this one,
you're picking Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan's going to win the match.
So to have another WrestleMania moment that's kind of a lesser than last year. Okay, great. Why not? Makes no sense to me, but you know,
you don't make sense to me either. You don't see Daniel Bryan and John Cena carrying those titles, giving it validity. Then Dolph Ziggler?
I see Dolph Ziggler doing something to win the title, and then that develops the rivalry between Ziggler and Daniel Bryan, which are two guys that can go, just like you and I. We're going from this topic right now, moving to the next match.
Look, real quick, I get the fact with you with the IC title, but I think it's going to be Bryan wearing it, having the matches with Dolph Ziggler. Let's go to Seth Rollins and Randy Orton. I think it's going to be key to see what happens here, because I think, depending on this one, maybe Seth Rollins cashes in Money in the Bank.
Yeah, this is a match that Seth Rollins can lose. He can lose. If you want to put somewhat of, you know, the WWE has a lot of bad guys, a lot of heels, right? They don't have that many good faces. And I've never liked Randy Orton as a babyface. Don't think that's his role. And at the last runs as heels, it's just been idiotic. He's not the sadistic, the heartless viper that he once was. So this is a match that Seth Rollins can actually afford to lose. Clean, even that, because you know what? He still has the Money in the Bank briefcase, which he could cash in later on that night or the following Monday. You never know. So he still ends up being a winner regardless of what happens.
Yeah, Rusev and John Cena.
Well, who do you have in that one, though? The Randy Orton, Seth Rollins.
Randy Orton.
Yeah. Clean, or the same quirky, you know, J&J security cost Seth Rollins a match.
No, I think it's going to be clean. I think he's got an RKO waiting for him, Seth Rollins. But again, you're right. He doesn't need to lose. He doesn't need to win the match, Seth Rollins. We go to Rusev and John Cena for the U.S. title.
This has actually been something that's been good to watch, the promos.
It's very, been a good lead-up. Yeah. I think Rusev has actually done a good job. I was a little down on Rusev, but...
And we both were.
Yeah. But I think that he's done a great job. So I'm going to go with John Cena, though. Just because, again, John Cena will add validity to the U.S. title.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the same thing. I think John Cena's going to win, give him his first loss, and it'll be like Rocky IV. You know, he'll hold the flag up in the air. He defeated the Soviet Union and the Russian dictatorship. So, yeah.
Bray Wyatt and The Undertaker. Listen, I think Undertaker, first of all, let's wish Undertaker happy birthday. His birthday was this week.
Yay! Happy birthday, dead man.
And this is just going to set up for Undertaker's retirement match at WrestleMania 32 in Jerryland. So he's got to come out. He's got to be Bray Wyatt. And Bray Wyatt's setting this up for a win for The Undertaker. Clean and simple. Bray Wyatt will put on a good show, but I think the dead man goes 1-0 at WrestleMania.
Well, there's two things that I'm always thinking about with this. It's, starting a new streak, right? He's going to try to match it and beat it this time when he's 70. But, with this one, I'm kind of torn. I've been so happy with the way they've been booking Bray, making him look, you know, like this unstoppable force. And he's done so much to promote this match on his own, basically, without any help of The Undertaker. And to see him go down after losing last year to John Cena, when that could have been a big big push for him, it's tough to see. Undertaker, it'd be tough for me to see him lose two in a row. So no matter what, whether you're a Bray Wyatt fan, folks, or an Undertaker fan, you're not going to be happy with the result. I think, similar to Jeff, Undertaker's going to go out with this one. But it's just weird. He hasn't acknowledged the fact that the streak's ended. It's just... Yeah, you know, you hope everybody forgets about it. It happened. Let's move on to something new. I just feel there needs to be some acknowledgement of it, and we're not going to see it anymore because, you know, we're getting so close to WrestleMania now, but I wish I could have seen something
like that. Give Bray Wyatt credit, though. He has been carrying this feud all by himself. So I give Bray Wyatt credit, and I think his time will be coming soon, maybe in the summertime. So then we move to Sting and Triple H, and this is a toss-up to me because I don't know in what direction they're going with this, just to the fact because I don't know how long Sting is signed for with the WWE. I don't know if this is going to be the end of the Authority. I don't know what's at stake here. I don't know how, by Triple H losing, he's going down. I really don't get it. And as far as I'm concerned, Triple H has lost a lot of WrestleMania matches now, and I just wonder if he has any more validity at WrestleMania. So I think Triple H gets the win, but again, I think it's a toss-up because I just don't know what direction they're going in. But if I were a betting man, I would say Triple H gets the win here.
This match has a lot of nostalgia behind it. I think that's why it's so intriguing. The first see Sting in a WWE ring for the first time, Sting and Triple H, you never thought you'd ever see it. Again, you and I have talked about, you know, Sting should have come several years before. I think the whole thing was about the Undertaker and the streak, but now that that's all done and over with, I don't know where you go with this. It doesn't make sense, the storyline going into it. He wants to take Triple H down. It's not about WCW versus WWE. They've addressed that already. So what's it about? And like you said too, Jeff, to your point, if you beat Triple H now, he doesn't have much validity if he loses, because he's going to lose, what, three WrestleManias now in a row? No, two in a row. Yeah, I mean, and the Authority doesn't go away if Sting wins. So this only makes you believe in a way that maybe Sting has more than just one match in him. But we won't know until WrestleMania's over. And this, I'm leaning towards Triple H. I really am. But I got to think, if this is his one and done, he's got to end it with a win. If it's one WrestleMania and that's it for him, he's got to win it. And that's it. And go into the sunset.
So you've got Sting.
I got Sting.
Triple H. Yeah. So, okay, we disagree. And again, I just don't know where it's going.
I love Jeff's hair. It's so nice and tight right now. He's got the facial hair growing just like Triple H, dude. I'm liking it. This, you know Jeff's ready for WrestleMania.
See, I think I'm woofing, but Brian likes it. So.
He's been in the gym. He's been working out with the weights. He is ready. He is pumped. He actually had to walk sideways into the studio. That's what I'd like to see. The game. The cerebral on your host, Jeff Martin.
So now with Brock Lesnar signing his new WWE contract, re-signing, what do you think happens now? Do you think it changes? Because you know what? I kind of liked the mystery about what was going to happen if his contract expired that day. So now that I know that at least he's back in the fold, I wonder, does it change your belief that Brock Lesnar can win at WrestleMania? I can't believe we're saying if he can win, but we all know where the WWE is leaning towards. Does this change your opinion? Can Brock Lesnar, now that he's signed, get the win against Roman Reigns?
This is what I mentioned to you before, Jeff, that you would have wished this hadn't been publicized. Vince talked about how he wanted to, you know, get the contract done by Monday, by the last Raw, before WrestleMania. But you and I both know their ways of manipulating the media. They could have kept this under wraps, not told anybody, say, you know what, we're going to play it off because everybody's going to be watching at the edge of their seats, whether you're watching on TV or on the computer or you're at Levi Stadium, wondering what's going to happen. Because the biggest thing you and I have talked about as the weeks have led on to this, Jeff, is what's the ending going to be? Is Lesnar going to lose? Is he going to lose clean? Is he going to destroy Roman Reigns? Is he going to walk out the champion and possibly leave for MMA, UFC or Bellator or whatever fighting promotions out there? It was always that question where I was like, wow, there's so many ways to go here. But now that we know he's re-signed, it doesn't necessarily put that allure anymore. That, like, oh, what's going to happen? The only question mark will be, will he walk out as the champion? Will Seth Rollins cash in? Or will Roman Reigns actually beat him clean and make himself the new face? It doesn't make sense to me to Roman to win. I know you've been building him up, and I know a lot of people say, well, you know, you've gone this far, might as well go all the way and see what happens. But yes, if you've re-signed Brock Lesnar, what sense does it make for him to lose? And then what? Seth Rollins cash in, and then Lesnar somehow get a rematch clause? I don't know how you work it storyline-wise. So to me, is what would make more sense is for Lesnar to win, carry that in, and then develop something between Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. Or Lesnar wins, speared, whatever the case might be, Seth cashes in. That's a better ending for me than Roman winning cleanly.
I think that if you're going to have compassion, if they're going to have the WWE Universe feel any compassion towards Roman Reigns, then I think what you do is he gets his moment, he beats Brock Lesnar, but right after the beating that Brock Lesnar will do, after the suplexes that he will give Roman Reigns after the match is over, all of a sudden, you hear Seth Rollins' music. He comes down the ring, and he cashes Money in the Bank, and that is your final outcome for WrestleMania. I think what that does is it makes a feud between Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, and actually the fans, like they did last year at SummerSlam with Daniel Bryan. If Roman Reigns gets that title taken away from him, I think he can be made a sympathetic figure, and then he chases Seth Rollins for the title, and you have your probably main event for SummerSlam all the way through the summer. What do you think of my madness? Does it make sense?
It makes sense. It makes perfect sense. And you know what? I wouldn't be hell-bent to say that might happen. But in terms of the fans feeling sympathetic for him, I mean, they've tried to do it. And I guess
This might do it.
But the point is, you have the crowd screaming for Lesnar. You have them chanting Daniel Bryan's name as he's doing promos, which is irritating, you know, Roman, to he's admitted in an interview. He just wants, you know, he respects their opinion, blah, blah, blah. Just wants them to shut up when he's talking. Okay. All right. Just so it doesn't affect you then, Roman, because you just want them to shut up. Same token. If it happens, I think more people will enjoy it more than feel sorry for him. I mean, I think that's just the way he is. And it's a shame because Roman Reigns is such a talent and he has so much potential. I use the word green because I think he's still a little inexperienced, but still, there's no doubt in my mind.
Just give Roman Reigns a compliment.
Whether it's 2 or 3 years. Yeah, wow. I do. Unlike you, I can see the other way. I don't blame, you know, I'm not going to, you know, if Roman Reigns wins this and he's not sympathetic, folks, he's got nobody to blame but himself. You know, because he's such a cookie cutter.
Here we go.
Such a fan. Believe that.
At the end of the day, if you fail at something, whose fault is it?
Well, quick question. Who do you think came up with that I will, like, I can and I will? To me, it's like,
oh,
you know,
my God.
The little engine that could. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I mean, enough of that.
It's
please.
All WWE's effort to make. You know, they have the whole anti-bullying thing. They have the, yeah. You know, make you believe in yourself.
I guess Brock Lesnar is the stereotypical bully, I guess. But what was your question before I interrupted you?
No, but if you fail at something, in the end, whose ultimate fault is it?
Their fault. So if Roman Reigns loses it and gets robbed by Seth Rollins, it's his fault. because he believed hard enough. Somehow he just couldn't get the job done.
Somehow, when people listen to this, they're gonna misconstrue what I tried to say. I get that feeling, but again, that's what Twitter is for. So if you don't agree with what I have to say, tweet.
But I got Lesnar in this one. I don't think Roman Reigns will be the sympathetic figure. I've got
Seth Rollins winning the title. I have Roman Reigns beating Brock Lesnar.
Well, that's the exception. If it's Lesnar between the two of them, who do you think?
Roman Reigns.
They're going to go all the way with him?
Yep.
Okay. Folks, we're only a couple of days away, man. Only a couple days away. We'll find out for ourselves live, Jeff.
And you know what? As much as we rip the card and we joke about it, you know what? It's going to... As much as we rip the card, I think that no matter what happens, it's going to be a memorable WrestleMania. I think that just the atmosphere, just being there, is going to be awesome.
Jeff, you were right about WrestleMania. I mean, you and I have been lucky to be part of 30 last year, which I don't think any WrestleMania we ever go to from this point on will ever live up to that one.
I think we were a little bit spoiled.
Yeah. The bar sits so high, we have no other course of action
but still, for failure. We're going to Mania, baby.
We are. And, folks, if you've never been to WrestleMania, and we've talked about the card, we've dissected it, folks, we're not literally promoting this thing as a, you know, top 10 WrestleMania, but you have to experience it. The galore, the rapture, all those adjectives involved, and Jeff agrees with me.
Yes, I do.
It's a good word, right?
It's good. It's good.
All that is meaningful, and you can't wait for the next one. So, Jeff, the next time you and I, and now Jeff has a big smile on his face. The next time, Jeff, you and I will be talking, we'll be in California, in Santa Clara, for WrestleMania.
That's right. So, guys, stay tuned, because come this Friday, once we land, once we scope out the scenery, you're going to hear from us.
Oh, yes. The high spot. Next time you listen to it, we'll be from California. WrestleMania 31, final preview. Jeff, thank you so much. I'll see you in California.
I'm packing my suntan lotion.
Yes. Bring some sunglasses.